Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to Mind Power. We've got such good things to share with you today, and I'm so delighted you're able to join us. We're going to be talking with Chris Widener, and his book is called The Art of Influence. Persuading Others Begins with You. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, it's an absolute joy. I have to tell you right off the bat that when I was sent your material, I read through the press release that you had, and you mentioned Mark Sanborn and
yes.
his book, The Fred Factor. Well, he was on the show last week.
Oh, yeah, yes. Mark's a good friend of mine.
Yes, well, it was a delight having him as a guest, so I just thought you should know you guys were, you are in real good company here.
Oh, great.
Anyway, I want my audience to know a little bit about you. You're a very successful businessman. You've done writing and speaking, and you also have been very much involved in being a television host. In fact, you have authored over 450 articles, 9 books, including a New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller. You've done over 85 CDs and DVDs on leadership, motivation, and success, and you're the host of Made for Success and co-host of True Performance with Zig Ziglar. So you're just involved in all kinds of things. How in the world did you find time to do this book?
Well, busy. It's kind of interesting. This book is actually the book that's based on the speech that I give all around the world called Winning with Influence. And so I figured it was just about time after doing 9 other books that I actually did a book based on the speech that I give all around the world. So I guess it was about a year and a half ago I started it and got it done, and Random House brought it out in July, so just about 2 months ago.
You, right off the bat with your book, start talking about Bobby Gould. Who's Bobby Gould, and why is he so significant to you?
Well, Bobby Gould is obviously an imaginary person. The book is a little fiction book. I call it faction because it's fiction, but there's facts woven into it. It's about the third book like that I've written. And Bobby Gould is a person who is sort of made up of a bunch of other people that are well known and respected in the business world. But ultimately, Bobby Gould represents a new kind of leader, a leader that is very successful materially, but is also successfully navigating what life is really all about, which is relationships and spirituality and all the kinds of things that really bring meaning to life. So he's not just a materialist, so to speak, but he's a person who has material success, but also has relational success, and teaches the younger person in the book, the key character of the book, teaches him what life and business are really all about, as opposed to maybe just the science of what he learned in business school.
The key character in this book is Marcus, and I think your choice of the age generality, a young man who's gone through business school, who's just really all ready to go, just very, very excited, you bring out some patterns about how people are recognized. And the character of Marcus, who did you draw upon for that?
Well, I think, again, Marcus is probably an average of bright, successful people who come out of business school who think that once they get the science of business down, once they learn the facts and the figures and things like that, that's what business is really all about. You know, if you think about the process of what a young person goes through as they get out of business school or college, particularly those who had some success in the younger stages, they maybe are successful at sports and they do well with their grade point average, and they get into college and they go through college and they study and they learn learn all the facts and the figures, and then they get out of that, they go into business school, come out, and really what they've done is learn. And learning is very important, but I think a lot of times we find, and I was like this myself, and maybe you were as well, when you first come out of school, you think you know everything, and it's because you've put so much into your mind in terms of learning, but what you don't really realize is how the world really works. And that the learning that we've made, the book learning that we've done, is part of it, but really the significant aspect of life and success in business is the people issues. It's how we interrelate with people. And the science aspect of business is good, but the art of business, which is what I call influence, the ability to influence people and persuade other people, that's really at the core of whether or not we become successful or not. Because if you have the book learning, but you don't have the people learning and the people skills, then most of the book learning won't do you a whole lot of good.
And that's where your story really begins to evolve, because this fictitious character, Bobby Gold, has chosen Marcus to be like a protege. He's taking him under his wing. He's testing him out. He's going to see if he really is someone that is going to be able to make the mark appropriately. And I think that that is something that so frequently young people are not made aware of, even by the more mature individuals that are teaching them, that that's a very good process to go through.
Yeah, it's certainly having people in our lives who are older and wiser is something that we always benefit from. I had a number of them as I've gone through my life, older, wiser, more experienced people who I've been able to learn from, who've been very good to me, have opened the doors for me to be able to succeed on my own. But at the same time, being able to learn from them what business is really all about. And that it's not just the facts and the figures, but it's really the people stuff. And being able to see that firsthand is really quite an advantage in procuring our own success at an accelerated rate.
I agree with that. I think that that is so, so valuable. And that, again, is one of the many, many points. And your points often through this story are very subtle little sentences that are woven into the conversation between the younger man that has great aspirations and the more mature man. And I found it very enjoyable to go through your book, The Art of Influence. One of the things that Bobby Gold says to Marcus is, you can't decide if you're going to be a leader. You can only decide if you will become the type of person others want to follow. And that is a significant statement, because there is that, I don't know that I could call it charisma, but it is something there where people will have the respect and will say, this is a person I want to know more about. This is a person that I want to have an association with, because they represent the finest and the best. And go ahead. That's fine.
Well, I was going to say, ultimately, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't recognize, and this is something I think you realize as you go through life and learn and hone your ability to lead, is that ultimately the leadership decision is made by the followers. We don't recognize how much power the followers actually have, because it's them who decides whether or not we are a leader or not. In their decision of whether or not to follow is actually the decisive moment as to whether or not we become leaders or not. And so really, we do not hold the power as leaders. The followers hold the power. So for me to get over that arrogant idea that I'm going to decide whether I'm going to lead these people or not, we have to get to the point where we have to understand that they make the decision whether or not I'll be a leader. So my job is to make myself into the type of person that they want to follow and will give me the gift of their followership.
Bobby asked Marcus to give him 10 points or 10 qualities of a person, what he would look for in a person that he wanted to follow. And he had honesty, passion, vision, empowerment, fairness, decisiveness, good listening skills, and ability to communicate, courage, and positive attitude. How did Bobby respond to that? Hello? Uh-oh. I think we lost our guest. Something happened to the phone line. Well, Don, if you're listening, we are going to need to call Chris Widener back, and we will continue with this. Meanwhile, this is Donna Sebo. My guest today, Chris Widener, The Art of Influence, Persuading Others Begins With You. He has been so involved with so many things in business, and we were discussing his book, and something happened to the phone line. It just disappeared. So we will just continue on and wait until we're able to make that reconnection. Again, Don, if you are there in the studio, if you could call him back quickly, I would really appreciate it. While we're waiting for that, I do want to let you know that I am going to be on the road traveling, and I'm going to be on my way to Alaska, and I'm going to be up there interacting with people both in Anchorage and Fairbanks. So if you are in that area and you're listening to this broadcast today, and I'll be mentioning that during the rest of the week, and also we have some other appearances that I will be announcing as we go along in the programming. Donna Sebo here, my guest, Chris Widener. I don't know what happened to the phone line, but he has disappeared. So as soon as we can, we will be getting him back online. While we're waiting to get that done, I wanted to give a little bit of the astrological forecast. You know, this is fun. This is something that every once in a while that I'll get information on, and I just think it's quick and easy and it's fun to share with you. I do not proclaim to be the expert in this. This is information that other people put together, and I just think it's a lot of fun. This is with Gerald James Jackson. But anyway, I wanted to share with those of you under Libra, Scorpio, or Sagittarius. And again, we're waiting. We're trying to reconnect with Chris Widener. I don't know what happened to the phone line. For those of you under the sign of Libra, that's the month of September. We're going to be talking about, well, you're going to find that there is just so much that's going to be coming your way this month. But you've got to remember one thing, and that's to get your rest, because you're going to need your energy starting on the 22nd, because you have got an exceptionally busy, busy month. There's going to be all kinds of parties held in your honor, and they are going to delight you. Also, with the month of October, you're going to find that cash register of life is going to be cha-chinging for you. Apparently, you're going to have some extra money that's going to enable you to splurge on whatever it is that maybe you have wanted for a long time. But maybe you'd like to take some of that extra financial abundance that you're going to be getting and put it away in a long-term investment. That is something that I think you're going to be doing some more thinking about, those of you born under the sign of Libra. November, you're going to be wanting to really enjoy your home, whether it's going to be fixing it up and making it look spiffy, or you're going to be looking at maybe changing some things that have to have some major work, bringing it up to par to the standard that you want. Also, you're going to have a chance to do some writing. You are going to want to entertain as well. That's going to be very important to you. So that's for those of you under the sign of Libra. Also, for those of you under the sign of Scorpio, you have got a busy social calendar. Is that a surprise? Those of you under the sign of Scorpio, you really love to do what you can to interact with people. You have a gift to gab. You're going to make a lot of new friends, and some people that you've known in the past seem to be popping up and are going to have some time to spend with you, so enjoy them. That's during the month of September. During the month of October, you're going to find that there's just such a harmony with people that you interact with. You are going to also find that in the working environment, you're going to have a great deal of harmony. There is going to be an opportunity for you to get a bonus and perhaps even have a job. And if you have a special hobby, something that you really, really enjoy, you might find that that's going to bring you some extra revenue that you hadn't anticipated. November, you're going to find that you are going to be getting away. You're going to have that special person in your life you're going to be wanting to spend some time with, and you are going to be able to do that and do that well. Now, again, money seems to be in the picture for those of you under the sign of Scorpio. You're going to have a chance to have extra dollars. So think carefully. Do you want to save it, or do you want to really put it into something that is a big desire of yours. Maybe gift someone else, too. Those of you under the sign of Sagittarius, the month of September is going to be an intense month for you. You are going to find high energy, and you're going to have a focus that you will say, I wish I'd had this earlier in the year. Well, it is going to be real opportune for you because it's going to enable you to really, really get done what needs to be done. And people are going to really depend on you, and you're going to find that you're going to be recognized for what you do, and you're going to get applause for that you do so well. You're going to be going that extra mile, which I think is just a great way to describe it. You're going to put in that extra effort. You're going to do that exceptional something to make you special. Also, October, you are going to find you have a chance to unwind a little bit. I want you to enjoy that. I want you to say, I'm going to make time for the people that mean the most to me, and that includes me. Yes, you're going to give time to yourself, and I think you're going to find that your intuition is going to be working overtime. Now, when you enter into the month of November, you're going to find that you're really going a mile a minute. You are making sure that you're not staying in old patterns, and you're going to really move and groove. So don't be surprised if you come to that point where you say, it's time for a shift, it's time for a change, and you're going to really get ready to move into those changes. So November is your time for those under the sign of Sagittarius. If you're wanting to make some big steps forward, November seems to be the period when you can do it and do it with a great deal of assurance. This is Donna Sebo. Apparently, we have not been able to get my guest back, so when we do go on a break at the bottom of the hour, we're going to see what we can do to see if we can get Chris back again. So whatever happened, my guest, we were interrupted just as we were getting started and getting into his book, The Art of Influence, Persuading Others Begins With You. It's a charming book, and we'll see if we're going to be able to connect with him. Something went awry. Would you believe that we have discovered something brand new in the way of a mineral? That's right. And it made its way from outer space. Yes, NASA's lab has discovered this. It's named Brownleeite, after Donald Brownlee, who's a professor at the University of Washington, right here in the Seattle area, and he's the head of NASA's Stardust Cornet Sample Return Mission. Now, this substance was identified in a speck, an itsy-bitsy speck of cosmic dust that was taken from the stratosphere in 2003 by a high-altitude NASA aircraft. Now, Brownleeite has been described as nature's version of a synthesized manganese silicide. Now, this is a material that was created as a potential new generation semiconductor. Now, it occurs naturally. However, they have not found an abundant supply of it. Remember, they just found it in this little speck. This is the one and the only sample that was found in particles that were just so extremely, extremely tiny. And when I've got a picture of it in front of me, it is just phenomenal because of what they're able to see with microscopes. So we've got a brand new mineral. When I think of our young people today and the things that they are discovering and they are going to be learning about, my goodness, those of us that have been out of school for a while, we're going to be considered old fossils. They're going to just be teaching us all kinds of things that we never in a million years would have dreamed possible. But isn't that great for the younger generation? They have so much to look forward to. I was looking at some information that came across my desk regarding doing agriculture in outer space and using vertical structures to be able to do it. This is exciting stuff. I mean, after all, we've got 7 billion people on the planet. We're going to have to feed them, aren't we? So we may have to find different ways of farming. And all of this is so unique and so different. I mean, all of us have heard about hydroponics, and that's been around for a long time. You can go to Disney World, the Epcot Center. They've got a big display there. There's been all kinds of tests and experiments done in space travel, but we are dealing with a whole new vision of how to work with the growing of food. So as I get more information on that, I'll be sure to share that with you as well. But we're coming into a whole new level of thinking, an evolution of such size relative to being able to supply food to the planet, not have to use, you know, intensive amounts of pesticides, knowing how to work with natural components so that we're not going to be harming ourselves and the environment that we live in, and looking at being in outer space and living there. It's really quite exciting. It's quite an amazing thing when you consider, if ever you watch any of the older movies on television, it hasn't been that much time. Look at how much has shifted and changed. That's what occurs when a whole bunch of minds are working in the same direction and have the opportunity to explore. It's absolutely awesome. I know I can't keep up with it. I don't know how many of you can, but it really is difficult to do. Now, I received a story, and it was about a man, Larry Schultz. And I really liked what was said here because this was Larry's story, and he said that he has a particular routine, and usually it's on Sunday mornings, and he likes to go bicycle riding. It helps to keep him in shape. But he decided he wanted to do something different on this particular Sunday morning, and he stopped at a cemetery where his grandparents are buried. And he said, I rode only a mile to where their headstone was, and I cleaned the area up a little bit, and I just stopped and reflected on them. And he said he had really only one memory from each of his grandparents that really stands out in his mind. And he said he remembers one in particular about his granddad who had walked him to a corner store one morning for bread. And he said, my granddad let me carry the money we were going to spend, and I even got to hand it to the clerk. So that was a very special memory for him. And he said his grandmother, he often found her on the couch with her eyes closed as if she was sleeping. And he asked her one day why she always had her eyes closed, and her response was that she was resting them. But he said, these sound like such simple memories, but they really mean a lot to me, and he holds them close to his heart. Now, while he was there, he said he noticed some small groups of people scattered throughout the cemetery, and they were just staring at the grave markers. And he said, I would imagine that they were reflecting, too. Now, he got back on his bike and started to ride, and one gentleman he saw there said good morning to him. So he stopped, and he said good morning to him, too, and he said, oh, it's such a good morning, and he said, there was such an enthusiasm from this man. I just felt like he was inviting me to have a conversation with him, so I struck one up. And he said to this gentleman, he said, sir, I noticed you up on the hill up the road. Now you're down here. What are you doing? And he said, oh, I don't mind your asking me. He said, I come here every Sunday to visit my wife up on the hill, then I come down here to visit my lifelong buddy. We were in three wars together, you know. Well, they ended up talking, Larry and this gentleman did, for about 30 minutes. He found out the man's name was John. And since John was substantially older than he was, he asked him a question. He asked him, what advice would you have to give people if they grow old, John? So his response to Larry was, we don't always have control over our health or even our wealth, but we do have control of keeping in touch with our friends. So I say, stay in touch. Whether you're sick or poor, healthy or wealthy, you can always stay in touch. Well, this really touched an emotional chord in Larry as he was looking at this elderly gentleman, and he knew in his heart that what this man shared with him was really the right group of words. So they chatted a little bit longer, then wished each other a good day and shook hands. Each went their separate way. But Larry said the reason the story was so important and that he wanted to share it is because we need to take time to remember people. those people in our lives that they'll pop into our head and we'll think of and they'll go, oh, gee whiz, I should call Joe or I should call Mary. But we get busy. We get sidetracked. And I know email is so convenient and it's just great. I keep in touch with friends and various members of family in that way, and it's just absolutely wonderful. But there's something magical about real human conversation. There is something there that is so important. So when someone comes into your mind, just remember what this gentleman said to Larry, and that is, take time. Take time to chat. It really does make a difference. There are times that you have in your mind, maybe with a loved one, and they've passed on. Could be a relative, could be a friend. Doesn't make any difference. But when you take that time, and you spend the time chatting with them, it really makes a difference. There was a wonderful gal who was a very good friend of mine, and I remember my last visit with her when she was in hospice, and she was dying from cancer. And I'll never forget her laying in the bed. She couldn't talk. Cancer had gone throughout her entire body. All she could do was make little sounds, and then she could grip my hand. But I sat there and I spent the time with her, and I'm so glad that I did. Lots of times people are afraid to spend time with individuals that are exiting from this experience, and really you shouldn't, but it's okay. I understand if you do. It's not always comfortable. But I'm so glad I did that with my friend. Because it was very meaningful to me, and I know it was to her. I couldn't stay with her, but within 24 hours, she had passed away. So making that little bit of effort out of my time, and I was very fortunate because someone had called me to tell me what was happening with her, because I wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise. But when people are here, and I had someone just say that to me the other day, recognize people while they're here. Spend the time with them. Enjoy them. Remember, when they're gone, you may have memories. But it's so nice that you spent the time with them. It's really, really good. So take time with your friends, with your family. Send them a card. Do something special. Because that will always stay in their memories in a very, very special way. This is Donna Sebo. I'm going to try to find out what happened with Chris. We don't know what went wrong with those phone lines. We've not been able to get him back, but we will see what we can do when we go on break. By the way, before we go on break, I do want to let you know about my guest that's going to be with us tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Tim O'Brien. Tim is so much fun. He works for Ripley's, believe it or not, and we are going to be talking about some of the most phenomenal material. They're coming out with a brand new publication that is titled Prepare to be Shocked. So Tim is going to be chatting with us and sharing some really interesting stories. You wonder how in the world they find out about all these things. Well, it's been going on for a long time, and Mr. Ripley was a man that traveled all around the world to find the weirdest, oddest, funkiest stuff that you could ever imagine. And he did that. It started a tradition, and they're carrying it on today. As long as there are human beings and life forms on this planet, there are going to be really odd things going around. So be prepared to be shocked tomorrow with Tim O'Brien. And then a topic that's very close to my heart is Nobody's Horses. Don Hoglund is going to be my guest. Don is a man who has worked with the wild horses on the White Sands Missile Base in New Mexico. This is going to be quite a story, and I'm so looking forward to having him as a guest. I was interacting over the weekend with some people that have horses, and I was telling them about this particular subject matter, and they just said, boy, everything you're telling us about what he has shared in his book is right on. We understand it completely. Horses are phenomenal, but these are the wild Mustangs, so we're going to be finding out about them. And then To Be or Not to Be, John Pemberthy is going to be my guest on Thursday, and then Francis Yates and the Hermetic Tradition, a scholar, a woman that received accolades from around the world for her research on that subject matter. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We've got Chris back on the line, yes. So we're not going to have open phone lines right now. We're going to continue with Chris because this is just the weirdest thing. I have no clue to what happened to the phone line. Chris, thanks for being so patient and being able to be on with us.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it. I guess technology is one of the great things, but it also has its issues as well, doesn't it?
Oh, tell me about it. When it burps big time. Okay, let's go back, because your book, The Art of Influence, Persuading Others, begins with you. Marcus is with Bobby Gold, and Bobby is talking to Marcus about character and skills. And he talks about trust. He talks about how important that is. We have had so many things, Chris, that have gone on in business, and I think every generation experiences this, but we've really had some big-time stuff. We're in the middle of political rallies and all kinds of rah, rah, rah noise going on. I think so many people feel like trust is a rare thing. It's so rare. Why do you think that that has become the case?
Well, I think people have dealt with this issue for millennia. I don't think that people are any different now than they have been in the past. There's been positive things and negative things that have taken place, you know, ever since there's been leaders. And I think one of the things is that with communication being the way that it is now, we actually just hear about it more often. You know, if, 1,000 years ago somebody did something in another country that betrayed his followers or the like, you know, we'd have never heard about it. Now, with 24-hour news cycles and the like and the needing to fulfill all of the hours that need to be on all the hundreds of channels, I think any time somebody does something wrong, it's just magnified to the masses. So I think that's part of the issue, is that we just hear about it more often. But ultimately, I think the real point of the matter is that the relationship between a leader and a follower is ultimately one of trust. And as long as people trust you, both in your character and your skills, they will follow you. And if they don't, they won't. And that's what we see on the morning newspapers, is people who have tremendous skills and are highly skilled, but because of a lack of character or a crack in the foundation or character that they never took care of, ultimately, since the relationship is based on trust, it doesn't matter how highly skilled you are. If you fail to keep that trust, ultimately followers say, you know what, we're going to try to find somebody else who we can trust and follow.
Mm-hmm. And I was just reviewing some material earlier where that was exactly the case, where many corporations are doing that. But that goes on. That is an everyday situation, and it is so very, very important. And that's one of the many conversations that Bobby Gold has with Marcus in your book, The Art of Influence. But he also talks about fishing and sales. Let's get a little insight onto that. Sales, we're all salespeople to a degree in everything that we do.
Yeah, everybody is always selling. We're selling ideas, we're selling ourselves, we're selling products, we're selling services, we're always selling. And if you don't like the term selling, then maybe a better term would be influencing. Influence, I kind of use leadership, sales, and influence sort of interchangeably, because the core competency of someone in sales or and a person in leadership is the ability to influence other people. And so it is very important for us to understand that we are in sales. And this idea of fishing, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was talking about the difference between hunting and fishing with one of my business partners, and he said, you know, if you were to hone that little story and that analogy out, that could be the most popular thing you talk about. And it is very interesting, because it has become probably the most popular thing that I talk about. I get more comments about the fishing versus hunting analogy after my speeches than almost anything else. And basically, it's the explanation between the difference of the reaction of the animal in hunting and fishing. And then there's an analogy for sales. When you're hunting an animal, the animal runs. When you're tracking it, it's running away because it doesn't want to be caught. But when you're fishing, the animal actually comes to you. And there's the difference is in hunting and fishing is that the animal thinks it's going to die when it's being hunted, and in fishing, the animal thinks it's going to get fed when it comes to you. It thinks it's going to get something of benefit for itself. And the analogy for sales is that a lot of times when we're out hunting people, we're out trying to get them. We're trying to get them to buy our products or our services, and we're almost in attack mode, the whole idea that we have to close the sale. Well, the natural psychological response of the person we're trying to sell to, or in leadership, if we're trying to get them to embrace an idea or a direction, they turn and they run because they don't like the way they're being approached. But if we fish for people, then what we're doing the analogy I like to use for fishing is that in order to get the animal to come toward us, or the person, the buyer to come toward us, we have to do a number of things that are part of the fishing process, which, number one, the fish has to be hungry, so we approach people who are interested in the products and services that we want, that we want to sell them. If they're not interested, then the only way to get them is to coerce them, and that's not a good business practice. Second thing is that we want to present good bait. And ultimately, I believe that in a sales situation, the bait is not the product or the service. The bait is us. People are either buying or rejecting us. They're making a decision about whether or not we have influence in their life, and they're making it on all sorts of scales, from the very, very deep aspects of our character to the very surfacey ideas of what our first impressions were when we met them, those kinds of things. So we want to present good bait so that people are attracted to us, so they trust, respect, and admire us. And that's the hunting-fishing analogy. We need to be more like fishermen than we do hunters. We need to present attractive bait so that people come toward us, as opposed to trying to track people down and get them to buy our goods and services, because the natural psychological response to hunting is for them to turn and run. And that's a great way to lose your business or lose your opportunity to lead.
There are, you know, a number of chapters in your book, but you have the golden rule of living life with undivided integrity. Mm-hmm. And boy, that is really a very good thing to do, but a lot of people don't know that they can do that 100%. What would you say to that individual?
Well, they're correct. Nobody can live it 100%. That's sort of human nature. We all make mistakes. We all break our own stated moral code from time to time. We come back from a meeting or something and we find ourselves saying, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that, or I wish I wouldn't have done that, or I wish I wouldn't have treated that person that way. So the fact is that it's human nature to have breaks or cracks, what I call cracks in our integrity. But the difference between a leader, a successful leader, and a person who fails at leadership is not whether they have cracks in their integrity. It's what they do with the cracks in their integrity. The fact is that we all make mistakes, so we're all in the same boat. So what makes a successful leader? A successful leader is one who keeps those cracks to as little as possible, obviously. But when we do make a mistake, when we do have a problem, we correct it. We go to the people who we've wronged. We seek forgiveness, reconciliation, those kinds of things. See, I don't think people expect their leaders to be perfect, but they do think they expect them to be humble enough to admit when they've made a mistake. And, you know, it's the old term in politics that you hear all the time is it's not the mistake that gets you, it's the cover-up that gets you. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of times if politicians would just admit it, or any leader for that matter, if they say, hey, I made a mistake, you know, and this means at the beginning, not after the press has finally ferreted it all out. But when we make mistakes, we admit it. And that's a leadership lesson that goes across the board. I do that with my children.
Mm-hmm.
If I make a mistake, if I do something, make a bad judgment or something in the way that I handle a situation or a family or whatever, and I recognize it, I'll go back to the kids. I'll say, hey, I'm really sorry, made a mistake. Will you forgive me, embrace and reconcile? They see me not as a weak leader, but they see me then as a strong leader, one who's strong enough to know that when things go wrong, when we make mistakes, whether it's on a moral level like integrity or just a practical level in terms of, making an everyday decision, when we admit that, I find that followers are actually more attracted to those kinds of leaders. Now, obviously, you can't make lots of blunders and mistakes all the time. Otherwise, then they're going to not have trust in your capacity to lead. But certainly, you do not have to be perfect to be a leader. The higher we can gate our character and the higher we can get our skills, the better, obviously. But if you do make mistakes, and we all do, correcting them, rectifying them as soon as possible is actually something that can be to our benefit in the ultimate overall grand scheme of leadership.
There's a question that you have in part of the conversation between Marcus and Bobby Gold, and it is, what good can come from this? Having a positive attitude is something that I think is very important. But that question, what good can come from this, is a good question to ask on just about any level.
Yeah, in fact, I was I did a speaking engagement a few days ago at a college in Boston, and these were all freshmen in college. They read my book, The Angel Inside, during the summer before school starts every year. The incoming freshman class reads it, and I speak to the freshman class there. And I was talking to them about principles of success. And one of the things that I told them was every single person, from the most successful person to the least successful person, they all experience obstacles, problems, and trouble. It's just part of living in this world. The car breaks down, people do things that they shouldn't, we're always going to experience trouble. So the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is not that successful people never have trouble or problems or obstacles. It's just that they have the same problems, troubles, and obstacles, but they don't get into this negative, pessimistic attitude. They don't quit. They don't decide to stop pursuing their dreams. Instead, when something negative happens, they don't ask the typical question. And it's funny, I can ask this question all around the world. And this year I've already been in Russia and twice in Australia and Cairo, Egypt, and all over the world. And it's funny to ask all the different cultures, what's the question we always tend to ask when something goes wrong? And everybody always knows what that question is. It's the question, why? Why does this have to happen to me? Why does this always happen right, when things are starting to get good? Why? And that's the wrong question. Maybe if we were truly asking it in an analytical sense, it would be a good question. If we were truly saying, why did this happen? But most of the time when we ask that question, why, it's just it's more of a lamentation of our bad luck. And instead of asking that question, which focuses on the problems and brings us into a pessimistic attitude, instead we need to ask this new question, which is, what good can come from this? What do I need to learn? What happened? How can I keep it from happening in the future? What positive outcome can come from this, even in a negative situation? And by doing that, it focuses on the solution. It focuses in on what good things can come out of, and good can come out of any negative situation.
Chris, I'm going to have to stop you there for just a moment because we're going to have to go on a break, and we'll come back and we'll carry on with this. This is Donna Siebel. My guest today is Chris Widener, and his wonderful book, which is written in a story format, The Art of Influence Persuading Others, begins with you. So we're going to be coming back and continuing. Donna Siebel here. We'll be taking a break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Siebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel. We're going to be continuing with Chris Widener. His wonderful book, The Art of Influence, Persuading Others, begins with you. Chris, there is another golden rule of influence, and that is that people's interests are more important than your own. And I really liked one paragraph that you had in here. I'll take a section out of it. It says, if you want to develop lasting relationships, you have to be interesting. Nobody wants to hang out with a bore. But even more important than being interesting is being interested. And I thought that is a very good point.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you go out for, to a dinner party or something like that, it's nice to sit next to somebody who's interesting, someone who can talk cogently about things in the world, and it's always fun. But I think that we feel more attracted to and we feel better about when we're sitting next to someone who's actually interested in us, as opposed to just telling us all the time about everything they've done. They actually in turn say, tell me about yourself. What do you do? What are your interests? And when we're allowed to share of ourselves, we're actually more attracted to those other people. Maybe you've had the situation where a friend has come to you with a problem, and you spend some time with them, and they just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and you don't say much. And at the very end, they say, thanks so much. You've helped me so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they feel like someone listened to them. They feel like someone cared about them. And I think that's one of the things that we as leaders can really focus in on is that to be good leaders, we have to be people who are interested in our followers, not just interested in our own situations or interested in our own goals or dreams, but interested in the goals and dreams of the people who are following us, who are working for us, who are part of our team.
I agree with that. And I find that just about everybody has something special to share. Just about everybody, if you are willing to listen, has their own story and their own experience that can expand your capability of seeing different sides of things if you do just listen.
Yeah, everybody has experiences and stories and life history that, when we find it, can help shape and mold where we're going and in a positive way. And I think that that's really true, and that's the key of a leader there, is for us to try to unlock that, to not be so fast-paced that we don't get a chance to listen and to give feedback. I used to do a thing at an organization that I was the head of before I started doing my speaking and writing full-time, called Followers Feedback. And what I would do is I'd bring the entire staff together, and I would sit there with a yellow legal pad, and I would give them the opportunity to tell me their feedback without any sort of response from me. They knew that they could get away with telling me whatever their thoughts were, and they didn't have to worry about me, you know, jumping down their throat or you know, anything like that. It was a chance for them to feel heard, and then I would take those things away and implement them into the way that I led and the life of the organization. But giving them the opportunity to really speak out and to know that they're going to be heard and listened to was an important part in gaining the trust and respect of my team.
I think that is invaluable. I really do. I remember a company that I worked for many years ago where they were going down the tubes very, very quickly, and they were trying to avoid having a particular union setup coming into their shop. And the situation had evolved because they had grown at such a fast rate, and the person that had been in charge of the company just didn't have the vision. But what evolved is that there was a young man that was given the opportunity to turn it around, and he did exactly what you described just now. Mm-hmm. He spent time with the employees, and he said, yes, I am the boss. Yes, I am making the decisions. But I've got to know what you're concerned about and what's going on here, because we're not in an ivory tower. If we don't take care of this company, if we don't work together as a team, the company's going to be dead. It just isn't going to be here, and I don't want that to happen. So I have to find out what's going on. And the turnaround was phenomenal. In less than 3 months, they were able to work out a very cooperative environment. The employees were thrilled, and their business went up because of the satisfaction, the sense of satisfaction and involvement on the part of the employees.
Well, if employees feel that their leaders have engaged them and are considering their interests, they're much more likely to stick around. They're much more likely to work at a higher level, to have that kind of buy-in that we seek as leaders. But if they feel like they're just being used like pawns in a chess game, then they're more likely to leave the organization or work at a lower level because they just don't feel like their interests are being considered.
I really have enjoyed your book, The Art of Influence. I like the way that you've put so many mini lessons, that's how I'll describe it, that have a significant impact, and it's good just for everyday life. What a wonderful gift this could be for someone, especially with the holidays coming up, if you wanted to give something that would fit the budget very nicely, then I think The Art of Influence, Persuading Others Begins With You, is very well done. Chris, you have a website. It's called chriswidener.com, and you say if you add a /free, there's all kinds of free material on that website. And Chris is C-H-R-I-S. His last name is WIDENER.com/free. I want to thank you for being my guest today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and address your listeners.
It's been a joy. This is Donna Sebo. We have run out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous, fabulous day. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, remember, you are in the right place at the right time, and give it all that you've got, because the best really is always noticed. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.